Here's what I see the ideal society in the future. That we won't even use money at all. And everybody participates in some way by doing something productive. By being productive and by doing your share of the workload overall, you're then entitled to everything society has to offer, from free health care, free groceries, free transportation. Everything is just yours. You don't have to pay for anything. So you want groceries, you go in the grocery store, you pick what you want, and then you just walk out with it. You know. Now, on the other hand, who stocks the grocery stores? Well, a lot of it would be automated probably, but that which is necessary to be done is shared among the people. Now, there's essential services and non-essential services. The essential services, if you work at the essential services, you then get credit. So let's say you're a doctor, and that's considered essential. So, well, you don't have to go dig ditches or anything like that. Since you're a doctor, you're performing essential service. It's calculated how many hours a week you would have to work as a doctor to be able to have everything society has to offer. And overall, it'll probably be only, for most people, their essential services will probably be less than 20 hours a week. For 20 hours, that's because of all the increases of technology, where we have probably all kinds of robots doing all kinds of things for us. And actually, very few people will be involved in manufacturing in this future society. And very few people will have to do the really boring work. The real boring work will be work that is handled through technology. Most of the work will be actually fairly interesting. That will make it better for us. So if you have a talent that's in the essential services, you contribute, let's pick, we don't know what the hours will be, but let's say the society determines, as a whole determines, or the leadership determines, 20 hours, for 20 hours a week, if everybody contributes 20 hours a week in the essential services, this society will have everything it needs. You know, if you want a new car, you just walk down to where the cars are, and you order it on the internet or whatever, and it shows up on your door a few days later, whatever. So you get virtually anything you want that's within reason. If you want a Lamborghini type thing, which costs a lot more money, then you have to spend maybe there's a way devised where you work extra time to get something that's very costly in man hours to create, above, you know, the Volkswagen or something like that. So anyway, there's essential services, and some essential services are more fun than others. If you want to do the fun essential services, then you get training. You get training in it, like a doctor, if you enjoy being a doctor, a physician. And the physician of the future, like Thomas Edison said, the physician of the future will deal more with telling us how to manage our diets rather than, prescribing drugs for ourselves. And this is, I believe, to be true, that the physician of the future will work more with, they'll catch us before anything goes gravely wrong. They'll visit to the physician, will say, well, you know, you need a little bit, take this herbal tea and for three times a week, and should balance your system off or whatever, or maybe give him some acupuncture or maybe things we haven't heard of. Maybe I'll connect him up to a bunch of electrodes and press a couple buttons and say, hey, your aura's all balanced out now, or whatever. Who knows all the technology that will develop. When I was a kid, I kind of envisioned 2009 to be, you know, we'd be going to Mars kind of regularly, but I didn't enter my head anything about computers. and the computer revolution, the internet, none of that stuff entered my head. Everybody thought about flying cars, going to the moon, going to Mars, yes. And jetting over across the Atlantic 3,000 miles an hour, different things like this. And none of those things have really happened the way everybody kind of thought they might. The future took kind of a turn. And the future is still very this future we're in is still quite interesting. The internet has really changed a lot, and in some ways I'm kind of glad we have the internet. If I had to choose between going to Mars or the internet, I think I might pick the internet. You know, even though I would really like to see what's on Mars and find out if there was life there, stuff like that. That always fascinates me. But the future takes some interesting twists. So when we look at the ideal society that's going to develop in the far future, there's going to be some twists, and it's going to be different than any of us can envision. But let's suppose that they get down the amount everybody has to work to 20 hours a week. You know, that's easy. Now, this leaves us with quite a bit of free time. Now, the doctor is only working 20 hours a week. Maybe we need really the equivalent of 30 hours a week from the doctors. So what the society does then is all these people have this free time. They ask for volunteers to volunteer their time for other things. So other people interested in medicine like this would actually volunteer extra time to help people so that they get all the services they need. As far as manufacturing goes, back in the couple hundred years ago, what, over 90% of the people were farmers. Now I think it's less than 5%. And in manufacturing, everything that produces wealth in this country is produced by less than 20% of the people, just a small percentage of the people. Everybody else is just moving the wealth around. It's interesting when you think about it. So if we had the ideal society where we just concentrated, we had this 20 hours a week dedicated not to moving wealth around, but to creating wealth and abundance, then we can have more wealth and abundance than we can even use. But the beautiful thing about having not needing to work full time, and this is where the society needs to head more than anything else, because it was like General MacArthur said, he says, before we can teach these people philosophy, I think he said to the people in the Philippines, we got to fill up their bellies. And there's a lot of truth to that statement. You know, you can't expect people to learn higher ways of living, to become enlightened, to be interested in higher thinking, unless their basic needs are taken care of. If their basic needs are taken care of, we fill their bellies, then we can then begin to teach them productive ways of living. So if the amount that we work is once we hit the goal where everybody can have complete abundance by working no more than 20 hours a week, then it gives enough free time so people can concentrate on creative things. Now, a lot of people would say, well, yeah, but people would just get lazy and just watch TV and drink beer, you know, and they'd waste their lives. Well, a handful would, but if in the perfect society, there'd be a lot of teachers there that would be interested in directing people and also starting children off and educating them more toward getting them curious about how things work and getting them motivated to do things to improve the world. Nowadays, a lot of the kids, all they're interested in is video games, and a lot of these video games, all you do is try to kill the bad guy, you know, and that's where a lot of the concentration is. So, but if the kids are inspired to taught higher things from the time they're young, then when they grow up in this ideal society, then they'll want to do something creative and maybe write video games rather than just play them, you know. or maybe do something to improve society, whether by science or philosophy or by teaching. But what I envision an ideal society to be is we work no more than 20 hours a week, and then this frees our hands up. So a lot of people will want to either teach or learn something. Now, here in Boise, and I'm sure a lot of other towns, we have what we call community education, which is a good system. I've taught in it a couple times. They have classes on about everything you can imagine, and people sign up, and they pay a few dollars. It's pretty reasonable, and they go to these classes, like whether it be archery or I think I taught one on handwriting analysis one time, you know, there. And so people like to do this type of thing, and the reason they don't do more of it is because they don't have much time. People don't teach more in it because they don't have time, and they don't learn more in it because they don't have time. A lot of people spend not only 40 hours a week, but 60 hours a week or more with their business or their job, and they just don't have time to do these fun things. But if everybody only worked 20 hours a week, imagine what they could do with their free time in the arts and entertainment. But I think where it will really blossom will be in education. I think people will want to learn. There'll be so much to learn. Matter of fact, one of the reasons people surf the internet so much is because there's so much on there. I mean, once you start surfing it, you think, you come across something, well, this is interesting. You know, I'll be all ready to, like, do some serious writing, and I'll be surfing the internet, and I'll, well, this is interesting. I'll find out more about this. Click, click. I didn't realize that. Let me check into this until I do a search on Google for something. That leads me off. Sometimes I'll spend quite a bit of time, and I think, well, this is important because this is something I'll probably teach someday, you know, because this is good information, but it wasn't the information I needed right then. The great part about the internet is it leads us to stimulate our learning for those who, you know, surf for different things that they can learn. Now, a lot of the young kids today, they don't try to do serious learning on the internet. You know, they want to learn about the latest games and their idols and things like this, movie stars.